I would like to preface my remarks by bearing my testimony and telling you that I know that this church is true, and that Jesus is the Christ, and that we are led by prophets of God. October the 3rd, 1984, began as an ordinary day. The sun arose and the fall colors of autumn sprinkled the Midwest, and it appeared as the garden spot of the nation. The day was somewhat uneventful until the telephone rang. Elder Sonnenberg, the voice, inquired and then intoned, "The office of the First Presidency is calling. President Hinckley would like to speak with you." After a brief exchange of kindness, he invited me to become a member of the First Quorum of 70 and a general authority. It has been, and yet remains, overwhelming. The day took on a new meaning and an entirely different dimension in our life as I pondered the challenge and invitation. I will do my best and serve with all my heart. My lovely wife and children and their wonderful family sustain me as they have always done. Men's lives have been clearly and completely changed by such invitations from men of God. The acceptance was acknowledged by, "When and where would the Lord have me go?" Men and women the world over are invited each day to come and join with us. The Savior invited men to come follow me. It was not an ordinary invitation to follow Jesus. The commitment had everlasting and eternal consequences. Peter was invited to launch out into the deep. He was a strong, suntanned, ordinary fisherman until he was invited to cast the nets on the other side. And thereafter, he would never be the same because the Savior was steering his soul more than the ship. Yes, an ordinary fisherman until he heard the voice of Jesus and accepted his invitation. Another time, Peter was invited to walk on the water. And when he couldn't continue, he learned that when our faith falters, we fail. The invitation and acceptance to follow Jesus requires unconditional faith. In the presence of angry and arrogant men who are eager to accuse, the Master inscribed in sand and dust that which is now cast in concrete. The crowded courtyard of anxious accusers was dispelled and a sinner saved from stoning because the Savior was more interested in the person than in the problem. He invites us to not judge, and then he demonstrated that forgiveness fosters love and that casting stones simply wouldn't solve nor bring about a solution. If we are to be as he is, we must be as he was. We must even invite with interest those who show disinterest and somehow, and hope that they somehow will recognize a divine discourse described as a testimony. He invited us to seek after the singular sheep that was lost. He made us to understand that a lost sheep is really a lost soul that we need to seek and search for. That a lost coin is a commoner that needs to be counted and then converted. And a prodigal son is one that can be saved by serving and then giving service himself. He invited little children to come unto him and each of us to become as one of them. He invited men to love one another as he has loved us, and then he would call them his disciples. He extended his love to his apostles on condition they understood what unconditional love was for their fellow men. He invites men to receive the priesthood of God and to magnify it by service. He invites us to pay our tithing and fast offering, to teach the gospel and to baptize and receive the Holy Ghost. And he invites us to preach the gospel in all the world because we are a worldwide church. Consider this. Last month, my faithful and youthful companion, Timmy Manners, and I did our home teaching. 16-year-old Timmy was born in the British Isles. I was born in the DDR. We teach a family from France. We visit them in Germany, and we speak English. And we all understand each other. Each of our families were converted to this true church by dedicated missionaries in different lands. We were taught by the same sweet spirit of the Lord. As we meet monthly in the lovely home of Jean Colon and his wonderful family, we have the opportunity to enlighten one another in our home teaching visit by that same sweet spirit. We invite the Spirit of the Lord on bended knee and in the attitude of prayer. On this wise shall we pray. What an invitation to communicate in the name of Christ. We are invited to cry repentance and bear our testimony. And then as a crown of commitment, he allows us to go to his holy house and be sealed for eternity. Before 1830, April the 6th also was just an ordinary day. Since the coming of the Book of Mormon and the organization of his church, the Spirit of the Lord has touched men and women around the world. Apostles and prophets and fellow saints have borne witness of the divinity of the restoration of the gospel. Light, knowledge, and truth have been restored, and the Spirit of the Lord has been felt by members of his church. My beloved brothers and sisters and friends, I testify that the Book of Mormon is true, that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, that Jesus is the Christ, and that Spencer W. Kimball is a prophet of God. And I invite you to follow them and enjoy the Spirit of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.